Sunday is something of a hallow holiday, I think. I mean, they got it right. Who's the Savior? Celebration, but sort of for the wrong reasons. Because the same crowd that's shouting, Hosanna, God saves, just 5 days later is shouting, Crucify. Something of a hallow holiday, which is why in some corners of the church, this isn't just Palm Sunday, it's Palm Passion Sunday. The beginning of the passion, of the suffering of Christ that leads to the cross and then beyond to resurrection and the empty tomb. So today, in our sermon series on When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, we're transitioning now to the Passion part of Palm Passion Sunday. Today's verse of the hymn that is our keynote, Love So Amazing, So Divine. And we read here in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians these words where Paul talks about the center of the faith that he preaches. Hear the word of God. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I resolve, Paul said, to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's something central for Paul and for all people of faith about the cross. The cross is our symbol. It's fascinating, isn't it, that it's worn as jewelry, as ornament, as decoration by believers, but also by those who wouldn't dream of professing to believe in anything beyond themselves. There's something about the cross that has a power in it. So today we're going to look at the cross as a symbol, as a sign. What is it? What is it that's powerful about this cross that speaks to people of faith, certainly, but also beyond. Also beyond. You know, our Catholic friends, and not just Catholics, but Episcopals and the Orthodox, they have a practice of crossing themselves. You know, I've been Presbyterian all my life, but I sort of like this. I sort of like this. There's something tangible, there's something visceral about making the sign of the cross from the forehead to the body, to the shoulder, surrounding the heart with Christ and Him crucified. So I invite you this week, sometime during Holy Week, to just sort of try it. Nobody has to be looking. But make the sign of the cross as a reminder of what this week is all about. The cross simply, most obviously, is a sign of a place of execution. It's the instrument of capital punishment of Jesus' time. And it's stunning, really, stunning that the cross has become a piece of jewelry, an ornament. How can that be? An instrument of death becomes something we wear for beauty. There must be a deeper truth there. The cross, surely, universally, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice. It's the place where Jesus gave His life for ours. Even if you're not Christian, there's something compelling, something powerful about someone selflessly giving their life for another. And all the more, if you're a person of faith who believes that somehow, in some great, mysterious way, that Jesus gave his life for yours. There is something beautiful about that. Now, we Protestants, of course, have an empty cross. In a Catholic church, Orthodox church, you see a crucifix, you see the body of Christ there on the cross, but ours is an empty cross. The cross then reminds us that Jesus who died there is risen, that the last word is not death, but life. Who's right about this? The Catholics with their crucifix? The Protestants with our empty cross? Well, both, of course. Because Jesus is on the cross until the end of time, put there by the sins of the world and kept there by what we keep doing to each other and to ourselves. But Jesus is also risen. And the resurrection that we'll celebrate 1 week from today is the beginning and the sign and the promise that the last word really is life, really is forgiveness, really is love. So both are true. But the cross as a symbol goes deeper. Think about it. The cross is the intersection between the divine and the human. It's the intersection between God and you and me. It's that the God who created the universe, the God who created all things, became part of his creation, vulnerable to what God had created, and vulnerable in that self-sacrifice on the cross. But even more, in that coming together of the divine and the human, of God and you and I, we can see something of ourselves. I remember several years ago reading a reflection on midlife, which I now see midlife in the rearview mirror. But midlife, and it talked about when you come to a place in your life and you look back and you see the series of incidents in your life that have brought you to this point, and you realize that you've gotten to where you are by a collection of choices and non-choices, and it's really rather a haphazard kind of a journey that has brought you to this place. And you see the failures and the shortcomings as well as the successes, and you see the celebrations, but you see the wounds, and you see the lack of intent, really, that has gotten you to where you are. And you find that very often, whatever you have placed at the center of your life, whatever you have sought to give your very best energy, your very best self, too often is not deserving of such a priority. And too often, what you've placed at the center cannot hold. And you find your life, whether it's a public thing or a very private, when you find yourself sort of falling apart. And then this reflection said, how profound is it that the cross is the symbol of our faith? Because the cross is surely the symbol of being pulled apart in two directions, in four directions, in more. I think that's true not only at midlife. Ernest Hemingway, in A Farewell to Arms, wrote, "The world breaks everyone." And you don't have to reach midlife to discover that. You don't have to be 40 to learn that whatever you thought would hold there in the center might not. Might not hold at all. And you experience something like disintegration, which isn't everything dissolving into nothingness, but the pieces, the components of your life not holding together. And again, the cross, a powerful symbol for the forces that too often pull us apart. Things we've chosen and things that the world does to us can pull you apart. And the cross, with its suffering, with its sorrow, is the sign of that. But Hemingway wrote more. He said, the world breaks everyone, and many, he said, many become strong in the broken places. So the cross also reminds us that God is a God of resurrection, that God is all about healing brokenness, that God is about bringing together what has been pulled apart within us. And so the cross is also a sign of what can happen when we put back at the center of our lives what can really belong there. When we put love at the center, and not just any love, but a selfless love. And not just a selfless love for a few, but a selfless love for the many. For those within our circle of family and friends, but also beyond. Paul would say, when you put Christ crucified there at the center, when you put that kind of selfless love at the center, well, then the center holds. And then the cross becomes a sign of integration, of a life that's lived with integrity. A life in which what you say and what you do and who you are is in the service of that kind of a love. When the center holds, it's because of a selfless love that holds us together. The cross is an endlessly deep symbol. An endlessly deep symbol. And this whole parable, this whole vision of selfless love that we see in Christ crucified, this is why people of other faiths and people of no faith can achieve a spiritual depth. Sometimes they too can place selfless love at the center without attaching Christ's name to it. And when selfless love is at the center of life, there is a power there. There is an integrity there. There's a depth there. And Christ gives us, Christ crucified gives us access to that power, to that depth. But others have found it too. And Christ blesses that surely as well. One last image of the cross. The simplest, I think. Perhaps the best. Not long ago, I was watching one of you with your little toddler, and you were doing what parents have done for centuries, I think. Just the two of you, not realizing anybody else was watching, but how much does Daddy love you? So much. How much does Daddy love you? So much. Is it just an accident that what we call the arms of the cross extend outward in a kind of an embrace? Is it just a coincidence that you can almost envision the arms of the crucified Christ stretching out to pull in the whole world and you and me with it? And can you almost hear a voice? Can you almost hear a voice saying, how much do I love you? And the arms of Christ stretching out to embrace you as God speaks in a whisper, so much. So much. How much do I love you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.